Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have Sean Markey and we run through a range of topics from best practices with your age domains. We go into the AI content and AI SERPs, what he thinks, what he believes will happen. But we also go into, a less talked about topic regarding domain investing. And I think that's quite a valuable piece near the end. If that's something you're looking to do to maybe diversify some of your income, and it's the idea of buying domain names to resell. And he dives into some of the best practices there as well and how he's able to do that and make a fair bit of money with domain investing. So if that's something that interests you, that could be something there to listen to at the end of this podcast. But other than that, we just go into a whole range of topics within age domains and niche sites, building his newsletter, sponsorships, building a community, all the different things that people are thinking about and talking about now with Google and Bing releasing their AI SERPs and a lot of people being scared of losing their traffic. So essentially diversifying your income sources and traffic sources with these different things. So sit back and enjoy.
Are you ready to get serious about building a profitable brand online? Welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. We bring you the latest field-tested tips, tricks, and strategies for building a profitable online business. We interview industry experts, share customer success stories, and reveal our own experiences working on hundreds of sites to inspire and motivate you to make something happen. This podcast is brought to you by Make Lemonade. Whether you've launched your business yesterday or you're already a market leader, Make Lemonade will help you rule your world. Head over to makelemonade.agency/show for the latest offers on our services. Let's do this.
All right, welcome to the Niche Website Builders Podcast. Today we have Sean Markey. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. Do you want to maybe give a brief background about yourself, what you've been up to? I know not too long ago you kind of sold Juice Market, your domain marketplace, and I guess you've been posting a lot on Twitter recently about all the domains you've been selling and things too. So, but what are you doing with that and what else are you up to?
Yeah, so brief overview. I started SEO in around 2011, in the golden days of SEO, when you can get away with a lot more than you can now. I've worked for a couple agencies, and in 2019, I kind of hit it big with a niche site that I built in the CBD space. I was ranking for best CBD oil for a couple months, and I sold that site for a huge amount of money that I can't talk about. and that was on an age domain, and I've been kind of obsessed with domain names and especially expiring and age domains for several years now. I built several sites, I've sold them, and now I'm into writing about and teaching about building sites rather than building them myself. I've had enough of that for a little while.
No, I love it. I want to start down the CBD rabbit hole because it's such an interesting niche. I guess it's kind of compared to casino in some way, but what difference is there in the CBD niche versus what someone would consider maybe a white hat niche in quotes there, things like pets and things?
Yeah, these days you're not going to rank unless you're like a DR90 Forbes or Healthline or something. There's a couple of niche sites that have spent a lot of money, like CFAH.org, I think, and there's another one. Health Canal was ranking for a while. But otherwise, like, it's insanely competitive, and that's because it's so lucrative. When I was ranking first for the term a couple of years ago, I made between $1,000 and $3,000 a day on affiliate income, just my cut of what was of what was selling. So and that was, you know, like I said, several years ago. It's definitely gotten more popular in the last couple of years. So it's definitely a lucrative space.
Damn. Okay. And you mentioned you built this on an age domain. Let's go down this rabbit hole as well. I think a lot of people listening have maybe dabbled in age domains or, you know, browsing marketplaces and things like that. It became quite, I guess, trendy and popular over the last few years as people have been building websites on them with various case studies out there. But firstly, where do you find your age domains and what are you looking for in an age domain that basically fits your criteria to build a site on?
So I use a tool called DomCop, DomCop.com. It's a paid tool. I've used that since like 2014 or something. There's a couple other tools. Spamzilla is, I think it's like 29 a month or something like that. It's a little cheaper. And I don't have a lot of experience with that one. And then there's expireddomains.net. You can do some research on that site. It's not as robust. But typically all the good expiring domains with juice are going through GoDaddy. That's where I found almost all the ones I've bought. And as for what I'm looking for, I mean the most important things to me, and not everyone agrees about this, is that the links going to the site, I want them to be niche relevant as much as possible, or the presence of some niche relevant domains, linking domains. And then if the site is ranking for any keywords, that's also very important. Because if it's not ranking for anything, it could just be it's been down for a while, or it could be it got penalized and it'll never rank for anything. So the presence of ranking keywords is definitely a good sign.
Does that mean you will typically avoid sites that aren't ranking for keyword or age domains that aren't ranking for keywords?
Not avoid, like if there's a lot of, I mean it if it's not indexed and it's not ranking for anything, I typically will avoid just because these things don't go cheap, and so it's kind of a big risk. But if it's got niche relevant linking domains and maybe it's not ranking for anything, and like the history is clean, I'll take a chance on it if it's not too much.
Do big PR links, things like big newspaper links, do they factor into that as well? Do you care if it has those links, or are you just looking for like niche relevant links to that site?
I mean, it's definitely a plus. It definitely shows like this was a site that got some love and some attention. So that's a positive signal for sure. I don't know how much those kind of links matter overall. I mean, every link contributes to some authority and some trust. So it's not a bad thing. But if they're not there, but there's still, if it's a CBD site, there's a couple of cannabis links or like hemp industry or whatever, like that's okay. I'll still pick one up if it doesn't have those links.
Gotcha. And then what's your process then after you purchase an aged domain? What are you looking to do to rebuild the site and get it basically going?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to put content up right away. Just like show that the domain is back and it's being cared for and getting it indexed and trusted again. And that's easier than ever nowadays with AI. There's no reason to steal from the previous site through archive.org. Like just generate 50, AI articles and there you go. So yeah, getting some content back up and then trying to take advantage of all the pages that had links going to them in the past, as much as possible if it relates to what you're doing, making sure those pages go somewhere, whether you're redirecting to the blog, redirecting to another kind of similar page, or kind of last case, redirecting it to the homepage. Just making sure those links are taken advantage of.
Yeah, an interesting point you make about reviving the site through archive.org. There's obviously differing opinions on that. Some people talk about just adding the old content on and letting it kind of re-index before doing anything, or as you mentioned, leaving that content altogether. I guess what's your theory or take on leaving that content and not reviving it?
You mean like not using Archive to rebuild?
Basically not adding the old articles.
I mean, I think it's fine to look at the structure of the site if you want to try and recreate that. But you can also do that through Ahrefs, like Best Buy Links. The Best Buy Links tab is a great way to see what's got links going to it. I mean, at the end of the day, like it's something that works, and no one's probably ever gone to jail for taking stuff from Archive, but it's not strictly legal, and it feels like, it feels maybe karmically not the best thing you could do for yourself.
Gotcha.
I've had a bunch of success not doing that, so I'm fine to skip it.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Would in terms of buying an edge domain to 301 redirect, do you follow the same process then?
Basically, like for taking buying a site for the purpose of redirecting it, I've seen a lot of people kind of don't know what to do, and the biggest mistake they do is just redirect it right away. Like get ownership of the domain, put in 301 redirect, that's it. And that's at best not very powerful, and at worst it's like kind of a spammy signal, I think. Especially if you do that a lot to several domains. I always advise building that site out, getting it to rank in Google for whatever long tail keywords. It doesn't matter. But once you start to see those keywords ranking and you kind of see the site get indexed and like Google's learning to trust it, that's when I would say redirect it in maybe like 2 or 3 months, not right away.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely made that first mistake of redirecting straight away. If I have an edge domain now, I'll build it out a little and wait for it to index before redirecting. But it's a patience game because when you get that, you want those links to hit your site straight away and instead of waiting for it to sit there in Google and index. So yeah, no, for sure. And then regarding your edge domain, so you mentioned after the CBD site, you built a bunch more sites and sold them. Are you able to share any details around those? Were those all edge domains? Are you able to share niches, monetization, anything like that, traffic?
Yeah, I can share some stuff. It was in still the cannabis niche, as you can see by my THC hat. It's a niche. It's a subject that's dear to my heart. So I built a like how to grow cannabis site on a pretty premium domain that was doing maybe high 4 or low 5 figures of Amazon affiliate income for most of 2020. It got smashed by the December 2020 update. So that site didn't get sold. It's no longer around. It just kind of died. I picked up a kind of my biggest success as I picked up a an aged an expiring domain at GoDaddy for just under $7,000 in May of 2020. I think it was 2020, and time just sort of blurs together here. Yeah, and I built out the site with fresh content. I didn't take anything, like I said. And then I acquired one other site that someone else had built on an aged domain in the same industry and kind of brought that one in. And that site was targeting cannabis seeds. And that site was doing 5 figures within like 3 or 4 months in affiliate income. And then I ended up selling that site toward the end of 2020 for 6 figures.
So why aren't you still building sites in this niche if it's been so lucrative? Does something change within the industry or something like that kind of made you move away?
Yeah, the biggest thing that changed is that in late 2020, at least in this industry, there's probably a different timeline for others. Google started almost exclusively ranking like big magazine or like big media publications, like seeing the Florida Times or some stupid newspaper, the 20 best seed banks for the US and like that kind of content, just write 5,000 words and put a bunch of shit links to it, and that content was ranking on the top 10. It pushed everything else down. So there's some people that kind of pivoted and started like really doing those articles. You buy a sponsored post for like $2,000, put up a 3 to 5,000 word article, and then put your affiliate links in and just kind of play that game, kind of like whack-a-mole of like jumping to different sites. It's really expensive, but I mean, so is building out a your own site. It just didn't seem satisfying. Like that's not a game I wanted to play. I did dabble a little bit. I did a post on one of, I think I did a post on the Observer for a cannabis seed post, and that it cost me like $1,500 at the time. They're 6,000 now for the Observer last time I asked, but it cost $1,500, and I built out the content, put in my affiliate links. I took another site that I had that I bought as an aged domain and built that out. You know, it had been sitting for a while, and I just 301 the whole domain to that post, and it ranked
Holy shit,
first
okay.
for about a year and a half. I think it made like 30 or 40,000 in affiliate income just from doing that. But then other people kind of discovered this sub niche that I discovered, and it got way competitive, and I just didn't feel
Yeah.
like I didn't feel like staying on that treadmill. It wasn't, that's not fun to me. So that's why I got
Yeah,
out.
I've come across a marketing company, NorCal Marketing, within I guess you could say, I mean, they actually do a range of things like finance, mainly like supplements, fitness stuff. And you search any of those big supplement keywords, and they have a sponsored post ranking on those pages. And they all link, they all have obviously affiliates, but they all link out to other parasite pages. And then those parasite pages link out to another parasite page. It's just this huge wheel. And they just like own the whole space doing that.
Yeah,
And it's crazy.
they make a ton of money, I'm sure, but like each one of those articles is, you know, at least $500 to $1,000. It goes up from
Yeah.
there. So they're definitely spending a lot to get there.
Oh yeah. Well, what's your take on the future of that within Google then? Because obviously Google's talked a lot about helpful content this and spam update that, but we just see these news big parasites just ranking, as you mentioned, through the top of Google, you know, through all the updates. Nothing's really changed. So do you think that's something that will change, or is that just going to become part of, I guess, par for the course as links are still so important?
I mean, it's something that might change with the, you know, generative AI, or I've seen the SERPs where it's like, if you look, I think like best SEO newsletter, that's something I care about, having a newsletter. Google's like pulling all of these mentions of newsletters into their own kind of best X SERP feature. And so like maybe the game will change into just trying to get mentioned as much as possible. Like, I guess it depends on who you are. Like, if you're a brand, if you're a CBD brand or a supplement brand, trying to get mentioned on as many places as possible seems like that's going to be what will get you in the top spot for this new SERP feature if it sticks around. But yeah, every time there's an like a helpful content update or a review update, and everyone's like, "Oh, everything's changing," I always type in best CBD oil and just see these terrible parasite pages ranking, and I'm like, "Okay, nothing changed. You know, it's the same shit." Maybe stuff changed for like smaller sites or like, you know, not as lucrative niches. Like if you're, you know, reviewing basketballs or something, I don't know. But like for these huge supplement, you know, best testosterone booster or whatever, like just Google that keyword and see what's there, and like that's what's working.
Like the spammy, it's always the spammiest shit, and it's just like the stock images from the site or from the affiliate partners, and then a few bits of content that's taken from their landing page, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
And you know, I'm not hating on like don't hate the players, hate the game. Like they're doing what works and just taking advantage of that. It's not for me.
How did you structure your affiliate posts then? With I'm assuming it's not like that because, again, these are big news sites that can get away with it. But were there, I guess, templates and formats that you used that you found successful?
You mean back when I was ranking for these?
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, just like best practices of content, like keyword in the H1, keyword at the beginning of the post, like, you know, whatever check marks rank math tells you to do, like kind of that's basically the best practice. Yeah, and just like everyone else copying what was already there, like oh, this person mentions like organic in the H2 somewhere, so I'll make sure that I have a section on organic, and you know, just really copying what's there and trying to kind of riff on it to make a more optimized or you know, just figure out whatever Google wants and serving up that. So n
Did you
nothing
have
nothing fancy.
original images too?
Yeah, I think I did. I mean, I got all these companies to submit their product, you know, because I was ranking pretty well. And also, I mean, it was like 30 or $50 a bottle, so it was easy to buy a couple to take pictures of. But yeah, I also used the images from the site. I mean, this was in 2019, so it's maybe a little different.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's as applicable today, especially if it's, you know, one of these parasite pages.
And before we go down, I know you've been doing a lot of domain investing and selling, but I wanted to touch on, I mean, we've mentioned AI already. Obviously, AI is on the front of everyone's mind right now with what Google's rolling out, what Bing's rolling out, and everything. How does that affect your, I guess you're now kind of out of the game, but you're still teaching the idea of building sites and things like that. So does this change the way you teach things? Is this something that's on the front of your mind with how things might change? Do you think this may change things for the better or worse?
I mean, I still have some sites I kind of mess around with. I'm interested in psychedelics. I guess that's the natural progression for the cannabis niche. So I do have a couple sites, not just nothing crazy, nothing that I spend, a crazy amount of money on, and some sites that I test. But yeah, AI is pretty interesting. I'm especially I've been interested in how AI does on aged domains because I mean it just takes nothing to spin up 50 articles and push it live on a site that has juice already and just watch it go up. I mean it's been pretty encouraging for me. I've talked about this in my newsletter, but I've got a site, I acquired a site that actually had been down for a while. It had been redirected to another site and then kind of went down at some point. And typically I stay away from these sites, but it was like a DR40 something. I got it at a really great price, so I was like, all right, I'll take a chance on it. I generated a 4,000 word piece of content and just put it on the homepage, and it's a 9,500 search per month keyword. It's the domain name is the exact match for the keyword, and it ranked on like day two of being live again, like just right away. And it's been in, it kind of floats between spots two and three. Depending on what day it is. So, I mean, it's not a huge data point, like data point of one, but that's worked super well. I have a psychedelic site that's built on an aged domain that I've been building a mix of AI and human written content. And the AI content on this site, I put more effort into. Like, I edit it myself.
Gotcha.
I rewrite, especially the intros are horrible for AI. So
Yeah, that's so
I
bad.
rewrite the intros. The other thing I hate is when at every at the end of every section it's like now we've talked about this and now we're going to talk about this and then there's a headline that says the same damn thing. I think those are horrible and it doesn't read as human. It's not how humans communicate with each other. So I delete that. So I do some editing to the AI on this site and it's all ranking really well. It gets decent traffic. So I'm bullish on AI.
How do you monetize a psychedelics
That's a good question. I'll tell you once I do. But
website?
there's a couple of players in the space, like think they're called Mind Bloom. It's like a ketamine therapy. They're spending a lot of money to get their brand out there. I mean, there's also some obvious things like selling links to sites that are in the space, building a directory, stuff like that. Like the same with cannabis. Like, for a long time, and kind of still, there's not really a great way to monetize those niches. So you have to think about like, if you're link building for a cannabis company, there's not a lot of options compared to if you have a site on sports or something. People are hungry to buy links, so that's one avenue you can go down, or like I said, a directory, or I mean, just building a site that gets like 50 to 100,000 in organic traffic off of organic keywords, and then selling it to like some VC backed psychedelic startup that's trying to do psilocybin therapy or whatever, like. And that it becomes a no-brainer purchase, I think, for them. And you can sell it for a good amount, even though it doesn't make any money.
Are you competing still with like Healthline and WebMD and all the big health sites with that? No.
Not in psychedelics, not yet, and not for these keywords, I guess, which is nice. I don't know that I'd be interested. Like, I'm not interested in doing that. Like, Healthline makes a lot of money. Like, I'm just one person. Like, I'm not trying to take that fight on anymore.
No. Yeah, fair enough. Now, we've talked about the AI content side, but obviously there's the AI side, or at least being released in the future with the SERPs, with what Google's looking to roll out on there. Does that change anything in your process at all currently, or is that something you're kind of just waiting and seeing it? Do you think that's going to have some positive, negative effects?
Yeah, I'm definitely waiting to see like how it shakes out. They said they're, or people are saying, or one or the other, they're not really going after your money, your life stuff. So I don't want to compete there anyway, like I said, because it's super hard to do that. Like you really gotta bring a lot of money to the table to compete there. I think it's gonna be interesting. Like, it'll be. If it turns out to be like everyone thinks it's going to be, I think it's going to make doing SEO much harder. On the other hand, it's going to, it's going to like lessen the competition in some way because like you have to really pay attention to what's going on and you have to come up with new techniques to get your content, to rank for that. It's just going to be a whole different game. So a lot of people that maybe are just casually doing SEO are gonna nope out of that because it'll be such a big learning curve. Like that's I mean that's kind of like the optimistic take on it, I think, is that it's gonna get harder, but it'll be less competitive for a couple of years till everyone figures out how to manipulate that, like they did with PBNs and then aged domains. Like eventually it'll be something.
Does that make you want to diversify your traffic into, say, YouTube or video or social and things like that for your current sites or even your current teachings?
If I was a different kind of person who didn't hate being on video or stuff like that, yeah, definitely that's the play. I think really trying to build an audience and have a unique voice is going to it's a hard thing to do, but it's going to matter a lot more from how everything's looking. Yeah, so for me personally, like, I have a newsletter that I write that's it's a lot of fun. It's kind of a non-traditional voice. But people seem to like it, so I've been able to build a bit of a following around that, and yeah, that's mostly my plan. Just figure out how to keep writing about things and stay off of video.
Yeah, I signed up for that newsletter recently, actually.
Oh,
Is that
awesome.
monetized currently?
No, I'm actually building a community that I'm going to
Oh,
monetize it
nice.
with. It's going to be like a yearly price, and then you can just come hang out with a bunch of other people building sites, and it's where I'll spend a lot of my time, and there'll be a couple cool things, hopefully, for people that are in that community. So, I'm hoping to launch that next month-ish. That's for my Rank Theory newsletter. I also do a daily newsletter, daily-ish. And that's actually monetized with an ad.
Nice. Yeah, because I guess along with video, newsletters are kind of like the new, I guess, trendy content form for people in this space as well. And it's interesting. And I like that you're building a community too. And I guess that's the other trendy-ish thing as well that people are starting to move towards as, this AI stuff starts to come in. Do you know where you're going to build your community and how you're going to, I guess, run it? Because I run a couple of communities myself with my own sites. And it's such a bitch to keep the engagement and just keep it rolling. And man, it sounds all nice, like yep, community, monthly recurring revenue. But to keep it going is another game altogether. So maybe dive into a little bit of what you're planning to do there.
I haven't started yet, so it might just be a horrible thing that I hate, but I've been in several communities for a while now. I kind of have an idea of how it how it works, what to expect, and I've got a couple people I work with. They're one person's going to be help me with being a moderator. I'm inviting in a couple of my friends who are SEOs.
We're talking about communities just now. Do you know where you're going to host your community? I think it might be valuable for people maybe looking to go down the space.
Yep, I'm giving circle.so a try.
Gotcha.
I've been in a few communities of those. I
Same.
honestly prefer Slack, to that. I just know it better, but there's problems with like losing information in Slack. It just gets pushed way off the screen. Same with Discord. So I'm giving Circle a try.
Yeah, I tried when I first started. I tried Mighty Networks as my first one, which is similar, I guess, to Circle, but it's hard to get people to log into another app, especially one that they're not maybe familiar with. That's the thing that kind of bugged me. And then obviously, there's no platform that just does everything for you. They all kind of do
Right.
different things. It's such a pain in the ass. So, for example, okay, I might host your community like its own Facebook page, but you can't have people on your live stream or something like that. Or you have the community, but then it has no sales funnel. Like
Right.
things like that. And that it's such a pain. I ended up just moving to Discord and running everything through something else. But yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Have me back in a year. I'll talk about community building or
Nice.
failing.
Perfect. And you mentioned with your newsletter, you have an ad on one of, I think it was the daily one. In terms of, I think sponsorship is another interesting way for people to monetize their sites. I mean, outside of the typical display ads and the most niche website builders are going down. I guess the question becomes, how do you know how much to price your ad for? And then how are you finding, I guess, people to sponsor? Are they reaching out to you? Are you reaching out to them?
That's a good question. I've only done this 1 month in, so definitely not an expert, but how I did it was, I reached out to, I don't know if you know Richard Patey, acquire.gg. He's sold several newsletters at this point, so I was just like, hey, how much does a newsletter ad cost? Like, what should I charge? And so he helped me figure it out, and it came out to about, I don't remember what the exact number was, but I landed on about 1500 a month, is what I'm charging for that. It's a daily newsletter mostly. And it's gone okay for this month. This, like I said, my first month. I just reached out to another community I'm in, Traffic Think Tank, and said, hey, I've got a daily SEO newsletter. If anyone wants to get in front of my, readers, let me know. It's this much money.
Is that
So I
with
was like, yeah, we'll try it.
Nick Eubanks?
Yep, Nick and Ian and Matt.
Yeah, Nick's been on this podcast before. If anyone has listened to this who wants to go back in the archives and find that too. But that's interesting. 1500 a month for your daily or semi-daily newsletter. Does that include an ad at every single newsletter?
Yep.
Okay.
Just so the format of the daily is like, it's basically sharing one tip or piece of news or an article I read, like just sharing the summary, linking to the article, and then after that I give my take on it, like this is great because X or Y, like just kind of giving it a personal touch, like just a summary of an article maybe is not all that valuable. So I just put the ad in between the this is the summary and this is my take on it. Then there's just
Dude,
a
I love
quick
that
ad.
idea. I love that idea for content because with newsletters, you can kind of get into a rut of what the hell to write, especially if you're sending multiple a week. But just taking an article, summarizing, adding your thoughts on it, that's like the easiest way to create newsletter content multiple times per week and then obviously fill it with ad slots.
Yeah. I mean, it becomes hard, like what should I write about? 'Cause like you can't just pick any topic 'cause you have to have an opinion on it,
That's true.
it also, I think for me at least, like it really keeps me in touch with what's going on in the SEO industry. It's an SEO newsletter. And I learn a lot having to like understanding something enough to summarize it, and then to have an opinion on it. It just helps me, stay in touch with things and learn a lot. So it's been good. It's hard. Writing a newsletter every day is tough. I haven't really, hit a groove with that yet, but I'm working on it. That's why it's daily-ish right now.
I really like that idea. I might steal that for some of my newsletters and have a think on how I implement something like that with my current ones. I'm only sending one or two a week, depending on how much content I'm producing. So I'll do like a Monday morning, which would be when my podcast comes out for my site. So I'll send that out, and then I might do a second one in the week, which might be either a new article or a new YouTube video, depending on which site it is, as a second
Nice.
one. And that's pretty much how I've been doing it. I don't know if there's any more value of adding maybe more emails per week regarding summarizing some other content and adding my own opinion. I mean, it probably can't hurt, but it's just more on the plate.
Yeah. Yeah, it for sure. Like check it out. This newsletter can be found at SEM, like search engine marketing. It's also my initials, SEM.substack.com.
Perfect. Yeah, and we're going to link all these up in the description too afterwards as well for anyone who wants to sign up for Sean's newsletters too. But no, it's an interesting space that one with the sponsorship and stuff. But what's the end goal with these newsletters thing? Are you looking to just build out the personal brand and then keep this as your little baby, or are you looking to eventually potentially sell it?
I don't know if I could sell these newsletters. I mean, obviously someone there could be someone out there if I build a big enough audience that would be interested in just talking directly to those people. But it's very, it's very personal, unique takes on things. So it's not like pe people aren't signing up because, they just want to read another SEO newsletter. They're signing up because I make them interesting and fun to read. And it may not seem that way. I'm much better in text than I am in audio or video. So I promise the newsletters are a bit more exciting than I am, naturally. But yeah, I think, it's like my personality is so inside of these, newsletters. I don't know that it would be a good acquisition for somebody.
Unless they trained ChatGPT
Yeah,
on
then
your newsletters.
woe to the whole world if that happens. But yeah, I just I was a teacher before I started getting into marketing, so like teaching, I'm good at it. And yeah, just have no plans to do anything else if I can help it. If I can support myself by writing stupid newsletters about SEO and then having a community of people that are super nerds about building sites like I am. That sounds like a
Yeah.
dream to me.
No, fair enough. And I know you're, what's interesting as well is you're kind of going down the domain, I guess, buying and selling route too, which is an interesting space in itself, just because you don't have to build anything. You're kind of just buying whole domains. But you obviously you had Juice Market as well, which you could, you saw, I think Otis acquired that site and your domains there. But do you want to maybe dive into this idea of domain investing? I guess the question is, how do you do it profitably? Because I can imagine there's a lot of people that do domain investing that sit on domain names that no one wants anyway, and they don't make any money doing it. So, what are you looking for in a domain that you're looking to sell? And then, are you registering fresh domain names, or are you buying them off the market?
Yeah, so I will say that I've studied domain investing. I know all the best practices. I haven't really done them. I don't know if I'm the best person to be giving advice because outside of buying good names that people like, which is hard, because there's a lot of competition for those, or it's hard to like get ahead of a new trend or something, which I've done. Yeah, I just all of the sales that have happened, and you're talking about recently on Twitter, I talked about a very big high 5-figure, low 6-figure like portfolio of 13 domains that I sold. It was just honestly luck. Like I you're supposed to like have them for sale at Afternic, and that puts it in the registration path, meaning that if somebody tries to register a name that you have for sale, it'll say, "Hey, you can't register it, but it's for sale for $10,000 or whatever. Click here to buy it." And a lot of people sell names that way. I didn't do any of that. I just kind of got lucky, and I bought good domains, and then I did nothing to them. And then someone wanted them enough that they hired a broker to reach out to me and say, "Hey, we want these, 13 names. What are you going to sell them for?" And then it was just a matter of negotiating.
So, okay. So, what makes a good domain name then to buy for an investor?
So, I mean, it comes down to what makes a good brand name, I see a lot of people registering GPT related domains these days because that's what's hot, but like no one wants to name their company like, I don't know, AI GPT content.com or something, Like that's a horrible brand name. The guy from HubSpot recently bought chat.com. That's a good domain name. It was, probably like 10 million or 12 million or something. But like, you know, just the way I think about it is like, would I build a brand on this? Would I spend the next 5 years writing content, reaching out to other sites, like having this be my email, like wearing a t-shirt with this logo? Like, is it a good brand that people will love and that I will love to represent me? And if it's some stupid domain name that you're just like cramming keywords into, you know, and it's 50 letters long, like probably not that. That's how I look at it. And I mean, it also comes down to what you know. Like a lot of the names I'm selling are psychedelic or cannabis related because I know all of the keywords and I know what people are, you know, searching for. And it comes down to that too. Like, is this a name that people are searching for? Is it a name that people associate with this niche? So yeah, that, I mean, that's how I think about it. It just, w would I build a brand on this site or not?
Interesting. Okay. And then you're registering these domain names as fresh domain names, and then you're just sitting on them and waiting for a potential buyer?
No, most of the good domain names, if a domain name is worth having, it's taken already.
Gotcha.
People spend hours and hours and hours, like as their job, looking for domains to buy. So anything worth having is already registered for the most part. In early 2020, I bought flattenthecurve.com. I hand registered that very early on in the pandemic, and that's a whole story. We got like a million views in 2 weeks on some content we put up. That's on my blog on ranktheory.com if anyone wants to read that. But like that's an example of, you know, the opposite of what I'm talking about. Like it's super rare to do that, you know, to get in front of a trend like that. So mostly it's looking at the auctions for stuff that's either expiring or like finding a name that's underpriced, where you're like, oh, like this, someone already bought and registered this and they're selling it for $2,500, and I know this is a $75,000 domain name, and you have the cash that you could, you know, acquire it for a low price like that, and then turn around and put a big price on it. But you know, you might be sitting on that for 10 years, even if you do all the right things. And so it's definitely not for everybody because that money stays tied up for a long time. It can.
Interesting. That flattened the curve story. Please dive into that. How did you get one, 2 million views views just like that? Were people just searching that term?
So partly people were just searching it because, you know, it was big. It was the thing everyone was talking about at first. So actually what happened was I saw that picture going around of like, you know, what flattening the curve looked like, and I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's clever. That's a clever way to think about this. So I went and checked. I think it was February 2020, maybe March, and it was available for registration. So I bought the domain and I was like, oh, I'll just put the, you know, I'll put the picture up. People can just reference it. That's cool. But then someone linked me to this lady named Julie McMurray. She had written a Google Doc. She was like a public health expert. And you know, it's hard to remember this far back because it feels like it's been a million years. But like in the beginning of the pandemic, there was really no direction from leaders, like medical leaders, because it was so new. You know, they were still trying to figure out what's going on. But this lady wrote a thing about flattening the curve and like, you know, wear a mask, wash your hands, like stay away from other people, just like basic, you know, germ theory, I guess. And I just reached out to her and I said, hey, you've got this on a Google Doc, but like I own flattenthecurve.com. Can we put the content on this website, you know, and that way people can go there and share it and it'll stand up better than like just a doc. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. So I just copied it and pasted it onto a fresh WordPress install, and it just naturally people started sharing it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like it was everywhere on Reddit. It ended up, I think, number two on like Y Combinator, whatever that, you know, Hacker News. It ended up number two on Hacker News. it just got sh like Facebook shares were went wild. People were sharing it for like a month. It was just getting hammered with traffic, and I just spent that month like talking to Dreamhost, trying to get the hosting to like, not go down, putting on Cloudflare. It was pretty wild. I have a couple screenshots where the like concurrent visitors, the number of visitors on the site at once was like over 1,000 for like most of the day, like 1,500 people, 1,700 people just constantly reading the site.
Wow.
It was pretty wild. We ended up doing a little bit over 1 million visitors in 2 weeks, and then it kind of slowly died down as people, started getting guidance on what to do, and it quit being such a like a novel idea. But it was wild. It was a couple of weeks of really crazy
Damn.
work just to keep it up.
So what did you do with the site in the end? You just kind of let it fizzle out?
Yeah, I left it up for a while, and then the lady I was working with was like, "Hey, can you just 301 this to the CDC's recommendations? 'Cause like now they exist, And I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I did that, and then a year or two passed, and nobody cared about flattening the curve anymore. So I just reached out to a couple people, and I'm like, "Hey, does anybody want this? Like, buy it off me," 'cause it had a lot of juice. And
Yeah.
someone was like, "Yeah, we'll take it," and they bought it. And that was that.
Do you know what they're doing with it now? I don't know what you would do with a site like that.
I actually don't know what they're doing. I haven't Googled it recently. I guess anyone listening can Google it and check
Yeah.
it out. Yeah, I have no idea. It
Interesting.
was a wild
That yeah,
story.
that's yeah, that's crazy getting ahead of a trend like that and being able to just absolutely crank the traffic and the links on something like that and have such a powerful domain within a month. That's unbelievable. Oh, so if anyone's listening and wants to jump ahead of a trend within your domain investing, that's something you can try and pull off yourself
Good
with the
luck.
next pandemic.
It's not easy, that's for sure.
Yeah. When you're looking at domains as well, is there I guess increased importance on domains that are like one word, two word, three word kind of thing? Is it almost like a hierarchy?
Yeah, I mean, like a one word domain like sword.com or something, like, that's the best possible version of whatever your brand could be, but that's also going to cost you high six figures, low seven figures to acquire because they're all already taken, and no one wants to be called Amazon webstore.com. You just want to be Amazon. So there's a lot of two word brandable domains that make fine brands, and mostly those are all taken as well. But those are the ones that are really expiring at auctions and are probably somewhat affordable compared to, all these one words. Like for instance, a name that I own that I acquired for low five figures is fullspectrum.com, because it's relates
Oh.
to CBD oil, cannabis. I got that for like 15,000, and that was just reaching out to the guy that registered it in like 1999 or something, and just trying to buy it off him. You get a name however you can. And that name worked well for me, and now I don't have a site on it anymore, and I'm trying to sell it for six figures, and it could take a while. And I think it will for sure sell one day. So yeah, two word domains still make great brands. When you get into three words, then it's like, the pool of people that will buy this is a lot smaller, because for to make a three word domain, it has to be very specific. You start getting in really specific into a niche. So the pool of buyers is smaller, and the price you can charge for such a domain is also small, because now there's a lot of three word domains you could probably hand register these days. It won't be a great
Gotcha.
domain, but if someone is looking at your not great domain for $6,000, or a not great domain they could register for $12, I mean, that's an easy
Yeah.
decision. So, yeah, the more words, the longer it is, the less desirable it is. Unless, I mean, flatten the curve's three words, that's a super long domain, but like there's a reason that was more valuable.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Did you get into the like dot ETH, I guess crypto domain craze at all?
No, I'm an idiot when it comes to crypto. Like I always make the wrong decision and lose money, so I stopped trying. I mean, I got into it super late. I think it's easy to win at crypto if you're like, oh, in 2012, I bought 1,000 Bitcoin. It's like, cool, that cost you like $8, and now it's worth 30 million. So yeah, I stayed away from that. It was interesting to see it kind of rise and fall, and it was very predictably going to rise and fall. And yeah, I didn't try and play in that. It's just not a space I know or feel comfortable in, so I stuck to regular domains.
Yeah, I saw lots of people kind of buying and selling like one word dot ETH domains and emoji ETH domains and all sorts of random stuff like that. So it's almost like another game and another area. But I don't know what else you can do with those other than link them to your wallet, because you can't. I think there's a way to build a site, but it's not very easy.
Yeah, it you know the practical utility of that never made sense to me personally. So I didn't invest a lot of time into it. There's people that made just a ton of money on that, and good for them, but it's not a place I understand, so I stayed away from it mostly.
Do you have any advice for someone who might be looking to get into domain investing as a side hustle or something to add on top of their niche website building?
So actually, GoDaddy has a great course called, I don't know what they call it now, Domain Academy, I think. It used to be DN Academy, like domain name, dnacademy.com. It was made by Michael Saiger. But GoDaddy acquired that course. And so now it's
Interesting.
available if you're a Domain Club member. It's like 200 or 300 a year to do that. You also get some discounts on your registrations. But that is a course I would say to go through and pay attention to, because a lot of things, it teaches you about like not trying to register a trademark, like, NBAvideos.net, like don't do that. It tells you everywhere you could list your domain. It gives you some idea of what a domain is worth based on, the searches per month, the number of
Oh,
words
okay.
in the domain, stuff like that. So it'll really give you like a crash course in how to think about domain name value. And then, you can start. I mean, everyone starts by buying 50 really awful names and wasting all their money. So, might as well start now, if you're interested in that.
Nice. Yeah. So anyone interested in getting down, going down this road, make sure you check that out on GoDaddy as well from Sean's recommendation. But I think it comes to the end of all the questions I wanted to ask you, Sean. But do you want to maybe plug your newsletters for anyone who wants to follow you and just kind of see what you're up to?
The main one is at ranktheory.com, and that goes out every other week or so. And it's just like a long form SEO newsletter on whatever I find interesting. Like the last one I wrote, published yesterday, was all about how Canva is really crushing it with their content. They rank for like any color you type into Google, they rank for. So I wrote about that. So that's ranktheory.com. That's also where I'll be announcing my community, if anyone's interested in checking that out in the future. And then sem.substack.com is my daily newsletter that I write on one tip or trick or piece of news or article summary every day, mostly.
Mostly, most days. Now, Bevan, we'll link those in the description too for anyone who's interested. But thanks for coming on, Sean. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a good time. Thanks for having me.